ॐ किञ्चिमिनन्दस्य जनाजनाश्लकय चक्षुस्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थपितां येन भूतले सायं प्रकदामायं ददति सा पञ्चकम् पञ्चकपितृभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभैः च कीर्तनं भवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. Prahlad Maharaj has completed offering his prayers to Lord Nrisingadev. And Lord Nrisingadev, his anger has become subdued due to the affectionate and intelligent bhakti-laden prayers of Prahlad. And being very pleased, he's offered Prahlad whatever he wants, any benediction. Could you turn the volume down a bit now? Any benediction. Text 1. The saint Narada Muni continued, although Prahlad Maharaj was only a boy, Narada Muni is narrating this to Yudhisthira, when he heard the benedictions offered by Lord Nrisingadev, he considered them impediments on the path of devotional service. Thus he smiled very mildly and spoke as follows. Prabhupada's purport. Material achievements are not the ultimate goal of devotional service. The ultimate goal of devotional service is love of Godhead. Therefore, although Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, Yudhisthira Maharaj, and many other devotee kings were materially very opulent, they accepted their material opulence in the service of the Lord, not for their personal sense gratification. Of course, possessing material opulence is always fearful, because under the influence of material opulence, one may be misdirected from devotional service. Nonetheless, a pure devotee, Anyavilasita Sunyam, is never misdirected by material opulence. On the contrary, whatever he possesses, he engages 100% in the service of the Lord. When one is allured by material possessions, they are considered to be given by Maya. But when one uses material possessions fully for service, they are considered God's gifts or facilities offered by Krishna for enhancing one's devotional service. Now, Prahlad is going to speak. His words are in reply to Lord Nrisingadev's offer of benedictions. His words are in verses 2 through 10 in this 10th chapter. We'll read them all and then read purports. Prahlad Maharaj said, "My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because I was born in an atheistic family, I am naturally attached to material enjoyment. Therefore, kindly do not tempt me with these illusions. I am very much afraid of material conditions, and I desire to be liberated from materialistic life. It is for this reason that I have taken shelter of your lotus feet. O my worshipable Lord, because the seed of lusty desires, which is the root cause of material existence, is within the core of everyone's heart, you have sent me to this material world to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee. Otherwise, O my Lord, O Supreme Instructor of the entire world, you are so kind to your devotee that you cannot induce him to do something unbeneficial for him. On the other hand, one who desires some material benefit in exchange for devotional service cannot be your pure devotee. Indeed, he is no better than a merchant who wants profit in exchange for service. A servant who desires material profit from his master is certainly not a qualified servant or pure devotee. Similarly, a master who bestows benedictions upon his servant because of a desire to maintain a prestigious position as master is also not a pure devotee. Oh my Lord, I am your unmotivated servant, and you are my eternal master. There is no need of our being anything other than master and servant. You are naturally my master, and I am naturally your servant. We have no other relationship. Oh, my Lord, best of the givers of benediction, if you at all want to bestow a desirable benediction upon me, then I pray from your lordship that within the core of my heart there be no material desires. Oh, my Lord, because of lusty desires from the very beginning of one's birth, the functions of one's senses, mind, life, body, religion, patience, intelligence, shyness, opulence, strength, memory, and truthfulness are vanquished. Oh, my Lord, when a human being is able to give up all the material desires in his mind, he becomes eligible to possess wealth and opulence like yours. Oh, my Lord, full of six opulences, O Supreme Person, O Supreme Soul, killer of all miseries, O Supreme Person in the form of a wonderful lion and man, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So those are Prahlad's words of reply to Lord Vishringadev. We'll read them again because they're very wonderful, very deep and wonderful, and we'll hear also Prabhupada's purports. Prahlad Maharaj's first request was that even though Lord Nisringadev had offered him material benedictions, he had taken shelter of Lord Nisringadev to escape material desires. He didn't want to satisfy his material desires. Do not tempt me with these illusions, he says. I'm very much afraid of material conditions. This is what Prahlad said earlier when he was praying to Lord Nisringadev. I do not fear you, but I fear material life. It crushes me. Time, the energy of the Lord, crushes everyone. I desire to be liberated from materialistic life. It is for this reason that I've taken shelter of your lotus feet. Here's Prabhupada's. We'll read from some of Prabhupada's purport. Prahlad Maharaj was detached from all material enjoyment. He therefore took shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nisringadev and not the feet of any demigod. It is to be understood that if one really wants release from this material world, from the threefold miseries and from janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, birth, death, old age and disease, one must take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For without the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot get released from materialistic life. Atheistic men are very much attached to material enjoyment. Therefore, if they get some opportunity to achieve more and more material enjoyment, they take it. Prahlad Maharaj, however, was very careful in this regard. Although born of a materialistic father, because he was a devotee, he had no material desires. Anya bilasita sanyam. He was very careful in this regard. That is good advice to all of us who are aspiring to be devotees, to be very careful of material desires and material opulence and material enjoyment. Prahlad, anya bilasita sanyam. No desires other than the service of Krishna. The second of Prahlad's words of reply, text 3. O my worshipable Lord, because the seed of lusty desires, which is the root cause of material existence, is within the core of everyone's heart, you have sent me to this material world to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee, to teach us by his example how to act. If you would have only surrendered to Haranyakashipu and become a materialist as Haranyakashipu wanted to him, he would have inherited the universe. No desire. Anya bilasita sanyam. Prabhupada's purport. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu has given considerable discussion about nitya siddha and sadhana siddha devotees. Nitya Siddha devotees come from Vaikuntha to this material world to teach, by their personal example, how to become a devotee. The living entities in this material world can take lessons from such Nitya Siddha devotees and thus become inclined to return home back to Godhead. A Nitya Siddha devotee comes from Vaikuntha upon the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and shows by his example how to become a pure devotee, Anya Vilasita Sunyam. In spite of coming to this material world, the Nitya Siddha devotee is never attracted by the allurements of material enjoyment. A perfect example is Prahlad Maharaj, who was a Nitya Siddha, a Mahabhagavata devotee. Although Prahlad was born in the family of Aranyakashipu, an atheist, he was never attached to any kind of materialistic enjoyment. Desiring to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee, the Lord tried to induce Prahlad Maharaj to take material benedictions, but Prahlad Maharaj did not accept them. On the contrary, by his personal example, he showed the symptoms of a pure devotee. In other words, the Lord himself has no desire to send his pure devotee to this material world. Nor does a devotee have any material purpose in coming. When the Lord himself appears as an incarnation within this material world, he is not allured by the material atmosphere, and he has nothing to do with material activity. Yet by his example, he teaches the common man how to become a devotee. Similarly, a devotee who comes here in accordance with the order of the Supreme Lord shows by his personal behavior how to become a pure devotee. A pure devotee, therefore, is a practical example for all living entities, including Lord Brahma, the topmost person within the material world. The pure devotee teaches him too, by his example, how to become a pure devotee. Text 4. Otherwise, O my Lord, O Supreme Instructor of the entire world, you are so kind to your devotee that you could not induce him to do something unbeneficial for him. On the other hand, one who desires some material benefit in exchange for devotional service cannot be your pure devotee. Indeed, he's no better than a merchant who wants profit in exchange for service. So here, and in all these verses that Prahlad speaks here, he's demonstrating, showing what the actual benefit of devotional service is. It is in being a servant. Prabhupada was once asked, what is the result or the benefit of chanting Hare Krishna? His reply was, more chanting Hare Krishna, more service, more devotion, in other words. More devotion to Krishna, not to perform, to serve Krishna for materialistic gain. That would make one a merchant. A merchant, he gives something to his customer, his client. But is his motive to give, even though he's smiling and trying to be so nice? But is his motive to give? No, his motive is to take more than he gives. His motive is to take. No matter how much he gives, he's always trying to take more than he's given. So a devotee is not like that. A devotee is not like that. He wants to give, but is not interested in taking anything in return. Otherwise, it is not pure devotion. It is merchantliness, business. Prabhupada's purport. It is sometimes found that one comes to a devotee or a temple of the Lord just to get some material benefit. There was one story I read somewhere. It was on one computer file, that little story somehow I got years ago, and it told about a yogi somehow or another. He was performing austerity, and he was living in a box all month long. He would live in this box, practicing his yoga, and he'd not come out. One day a month on the Purnima, he would come out of the box that he was living in. And everyone for miles and miles would come to see him and to ask him for benedictions. So after practicing austerity and being fixed in some deep realization, one day, next day, 30 days, then he came out and there was a line of people waiting to see him. They all came to touch his feet. Oh Maharaj, you are so wonderful. Please, the first person said, my daughter is not married. You please benedict me so she gets a good husband. And the next person said, oh, my Lord, you are such a powerful yogi. Please benedict me that my wife has a son. And the third one said, please benedict me that my crops do well this year. And he looked, there was a whole line of people like that. He just closed the box and went back in. What insanity. Well, the story that Prabhupada told, even more to the point, is the lady who was carrying the wood upon her head, a big bundle of wood, and it fell off her head and she couldn't put it back on. And she was in the forest, so she prayed and prayed, oh Krishna, please help me, I need you. So when Krishna came, what do you want? I can't put the wood on my head by myself. Please help me. Here is God. He can award anything. Liberation, pure devotional service, universes. And what do we ask for? Petty sense gratification? Or even grand sense gratification? Or even liberation? All these things are useless compared to a drop of devotion. This is Sridhar Swami describes this, and Srila Rupa Goswami quotes this in Bhakti Samhita Sindhu Nectar of Devotion. If liberation is multiplied, what to speak of material sense enjoyment, the pleasure one can get from material sense enjoyment, which is fraught with miseries. Liberation is so far superior, and if that is multiplied by a billion, it cannot compare with a drop of the pleasure of devotional service. So we are very foolish. And I confess, very foolish, very poor desire for devotion, very wealthy in desires for material enjoyment. So it is sometimes found that one comes to a devotee or a temple of the Lord just to get some material benefit. Such a person is described here as a mercantile man. Bhagavad Gita speaks of arto gigyasa artati. The word arta refers to one who is physically distressed, and artati refers to one in need of money. Such persons are forced to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead for mitigation of their distress or to get some money by the benediction of the Lord. They have been described as Sukriti, pious, because in their distress or need for money, they have approached the Supreme Lord. Unless one is pious, one cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, although a pious man may receive some material benefit, one who is concerned with material benefits cannot be a pure devotee. When a pure devotee receives material opulences, this is not because of his pious activity, but for the service of the Lord. When one engages in devotional service, one is automatically pious. Therefore, a pure devotee is anyabilasita sunyam. He has no desire for material profit, nor does the Lord induce him to try to profit materially. When a devotee needs something, the Supreme Personality of Godhead supplies it. Yoga chemam vaham yaham. Personally, Krishna supplies it. He doesn't even have it done by others. He personally provides it. Sometimes materialists go to a temple to offer flowers and fruit to the Lord because they have learned from Bhagavad Gita that if a devotee offers some fruits or flowers or fruits, the Lord accepts them. In Bhagavad Gita 9:26, the Lord says, Patram pushpam param toyam yome bhakta priyachati taraham bhakti paritam asnami paratat manaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it, Krishna says. Thus a man with a mercantile mentality thinks that if he can get some material benefit, like a large amount of money simply by offering a little fruit and flower, this is good business. Such a person, business why? Because you're getting more than you're giving. Such persons are not accepted as pure devotees because their desires are not purified. They are still mercantile men, even though they go to temples to make a show of being devotees. Savapari vinyamuktam tatparadvena nimalam. Only when one is fully freed from material desires can one be purified. And only in that purified state can one serve the Lord. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchite. This is pure, the pure devotional platform. So Prahlad is continuing to criticize those who come to the Lord wishing material gain. Text 5. A servant who desires material profits from his master is certainly not a qualified servant or pure devotee. Similarly, a master who bestows benedictions upon a servant because of a desire to maintain a prestigious position as master is also not a pure master. Prophet's purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7:20, Kaimas taista ritigyana prapadyante anya devata. Those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrender unto demigods. A demigod cannot become master, for the real master is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The demigods, to keep their prestigious positions, bestow upon their worshippers whatever benedictions the worshippers want. For example, once it was found that an asura took a benediction from Lord Shiva by which he assured would be able to kill someone simply by placing his hands on that person's head. This is explained in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. What an incredible pastime. A person, his name was Vikasura, he wanted to gain something from Lord Shiva, so he was performing austerities and Lord Shiva wouldn't come, and eventually he was cutting off his own flesh and offering it to the fire. This is austerity in the mode of ignorance. But such pain he was willing to undergo to please Lord Shiva. Ignorant, but painful, to gain a benediction. And then he decided to cut off his own head and offer it to Lord Shiva. He was an asura, demonic person. So he took a benediction from Lord Shiva. Finally Lord Shiva came. And the benediction was that the asura would be able to kill someone simply by placing his hands on that person's head. So he got the power that anyone who he touched, his head would crack and he would die. Such benedictions are possible to receive from the demigods. So Prabhupada doesn't tell the remainder of the story here. Do you know it? What happened? You know it? Do you know it? So Lord Shiva gave him the benediction, and then he immediately went to touch Lord Shiva's head. And Lord Shiva was terrified because his benediction was so powerful. So eventually, Lord Krishna, Lord Narayan, saved the day. And he went before this demonic Vrikasura and told him that Lord Shiva has gone a little mad by his bad association with ghosts and hobgoblins. And his mind isn't working properly. And he thinks he can give benedictions that aren't really real. So the asura was saying, wait a second, I just got a benediction from Lord Shiva. Are you saying that it's not real? So Lord Narayan, using his power, he tricked him and said, no, of course not. But I think it is real. Lord Shiva gave it to me. Well, you can test it for yourself. Touch your head and see what happens. So he touched his head and finished. So it is possible to receive such horrible, powerful, but horrible benedictions. If one worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, the Lord will never offer him such a condemned benedictions. On the contrary, it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.88.8, Yasyaham anugrahami harishya tadanam shanai. If one is too materialistic, but at the same time wants to be a servant of the Supreme Lord, the Lord, because of His supreme compassion for the devotee, takes away all his material opulences and obliges him to be a pure devotee of the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj distinguishes between the pure devotee and the pure master. The Lord is the pure master, the supreme master, whereas an unalloyed devotee with no material motives is the pure servant. One who has materialistic motivations cannot become a servant, and one who unnecessarily bestows benedictions upon his servant to keep his own prestigious position is not a real master. So Prahlad Maharaj says, "Oh my Lord," text 6, "I am your unmotivated servant." An unmotivated servant. He serves not to gain anything because he doesn't want anything. He has no motivation for his service. He's serving because he's a servant. He's a servant of God. "I am your unmotivated servant and you are my eternal master." That's why he's serving. There's no need of being anything other than master and servant. You are naturally my master and I'm naturally your servant. We have no other relationship. He's saying, no need for you to benedict me with anything. I'm in my position doing what's natural, serving you. I don't want anything. I'm not a merchant. I'm not desiring anything because of my servant. This is the basic natural position of the soul, to be a loving servant of the Lord. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Jivera sarup hoy Krishner nityadasa." Every living being is eternally a servant of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 5.29, "Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram." I am the proprietor of all planets and I am the supreme enjoyer. This is the natural position of the Lord, and the natural position of the living being is to surrender unto Him. Savadamam pratyaja mamekam sharanam braja. If this relationship continues, then real happiness exists eternally between the master and servant. Unfortunately, when this eternal relationship is disturbed, the living entity wants to become separately happy and thinks that the master is his order supplier. In this way, there cannot be happiness, nor should the master cater to the desires of the servant. If he does, he is not the real master. The real master commands, "You must do this," and the real servant immediately obeys the order. Unless this relationship between the Supreme Lord and the subordinate living entity is established, there can be no real happiness. The living entity is asraya, always subordinate, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is vishaya, the supreme objective, the goal of life. Unfortunate persons trapped in this material world do not know this. Nate vidus fatigatim hi Vishnu. Illusioned by the material energy, everyone in this material world is unaware that the only aim of life is to approach Lord Vishnu. Aradhananam savesham Vishnu aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samacharam. In the Padma Purana, Lord Shiva explains to his wife Parvati, the goddess Durga, that the highest goal of life is to satisfy Lord Vishnu, who can be satisfied only when his servant is satisfied. So how to satisfy the Lord? Satisfy his servant. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore teaches, Gopi Bharta Parakamalayo Dasa Dasana Das. One must become a servant of the servant. Prahlad Maharaj also prayed to Lord Nrisimhadev that he might be engaged as the servant of the Lord's servant. This is the prescribed method of devotional service. As soon as a devotee wants the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be his order supplier, the Lord immediately refuses to become the master of such a motivated devotee. In Bhagavad Gita 4.11, the Lord says, Ye yatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. As soon as one surrenders unto me, I reward him accordingly. Materialistic persons are generally inclined to material profits. As long as one continues in such an adulterated position, he does not receive the benefit of returning home back to Godhead. So Prahlad, again, is teaching us how to actually be devotees. And Prabhupada is expanding that in his purport. Prahlad continues, text 7. O my Lord, best of the givers of benedictions, if you at all want to bestow a desirable benediction upon me, then I pray from your Lordship that within the core of my heart there be no material desires. Prabhupada's purport. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us how to pray for benedictions from the Lord. He said, Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam vajagadish kamani Mama janamani dharmani shade bhavadhar bhakti rahai tuki twai. O my Lord, I do not want from you any amount of wealth, nor many followers, nor a beautiful wife, for these are all materialistic desires. But if I have to ask you for any benediction, I pray that whatever forms of life I may take my birth under any circumstances, I will not be bereft of your transcendental devotional service. Devotees are always on the positive platform in contrast to the Mayavadis who want to make everything impersonal or void. One cannot remain void, sunyavadi. Rather, one must possess something. Therefore, the devotee on the positive side wants to possess something. And this possession is very nicely described by Prahlad Maharaj, who says, If I must take some benediction from you, I pray that within the core of my heart there be no material desires. The desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not at all material. So on one hand, no material desires. And on the other hand, a great blossoming, ever-blossoming desire to serve Krishna with increasing love, devotion, and intimacy and focus. Not just freedom from material desires, not just the absence of material, but also the positive addition of spiritual love, spiritual desires. Both losing on one hand something that ultimately has very, very little value and very little pleasure attached to it, and on the other hand, gaining the most valuable thing, the service of the servants of the servants of the Lord. Gopi Bharta Parakamalewa Dasa Dasana Dasa. So the desire to serve the Supreme Personality of God, it is not at all material. I pray that within the core of my heart there be no material desires. What a wonderful prayer. No material desires, blossoming spiritual desires. Text 8. O my Lord, because of lusty desires from the very beginning of one's birth, the functions of one's senses, mind, life, body, religion, patience, intelligence, shyness, opulence, strength, memory, and truthfulness are vanquished. All good qualities ruined because of materialistic desires. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kaman Ridrogam, materialistic life means that one is afflicted by a formidable disease called lusty desire. Liberation means freedom from lusty desires, because it is only due to such desires that one must accept repeated birth and death. As long as one's lusty desires are unfulfilled, one must take birth after birth to fulfill them. Because of material desires, therefore, one performs various types of activities and receives various types of bodies with which to try to fulfill desires that are never satisfied. The only remedy is to take to devotional service, which begins when one is freed from all material desires. Anya abhilasita sunyam. Anya abhilasita means material desires. And sunya means free from. The spiritual soul has spiritual activities and spiritual desires as described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mama janamini janamini shere bhavat tad bhakti rahetiki twai. Unalloyed devotion to the service of the Lord is the only spiritual desire. To fulfill this spiritual desire, however, one must be free from all material desires. Desirelessness means freedom from material desires. This is described by Srila Rupa Goswami as Anya Vilasita Shunyam. As soon as one has material desires, one loses his spiritual identity. Then all the paraphernalia of one's life, including one's senses, body, religion, patience, and intelligence, are deviated from one's original Krishna consciousness. As soon as one has material desires, one cannot properly use his senses, intelligence, mind, and so on for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mayavadi philosophers want to become impersonal, senseless, and mindless, but that is not possible. The living entity must be living, always existing with desires, ambitions, and so on. These should be purified, however, so that one can desire spiritually and be spiritually ambitious without material contamination. In every living entity, these propensities exist because he is a living entity. When materially contaminated, however, one is put into the hands of material misery, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi. If one wants to stop repeated birth and death, one must take to the devotional service of the Lord. Sava pari vinaya muktam tat paradvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktu uchate. Bhakti, or devotional service, means engaging all our senses in the service of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of all the senses. When the spirit soul renders service unto the Supreme, there are two side effects. One is freed from all material designations, and simply by being employed in the service of the Lord, one's senses are purified. Text 9. Prahlad continues, O my Lord, when a human being is able to give up all the material desires in his mind, he becomes eligible to possess wealth and opulence like yours. In other words, when he gives up the material desires of the mind, because Prahlad has said this already, that the mind is the cause, that grasping mind, becoming attached to something, the dream of pleasure, desiring, becomes attached to something, regardless of the validity of that attachment. It wants it. That's all it knows and cares about. It wants, or it doesn't want. Rejects icha dvesha samutena dvanva mohena bharata. This duality of the acceptance and rejection of the mind is that which bewilders the living entity in the material world. Keeps him in the material world. Bewildered. I want this. I don't want that. And in this way, the whole mind, the whole energy of life is spoiled on the material platform. But that can be purified, spiritualized through surrender. Anukulasya sankalpa pratikulasya varjanam. When we want that which will make us advance, and we don't want that which will push us further away, then the mind is in its proper function. So we should become strong in our accepting and rejecting. That's That's strong. To become a strong devotee means to become strong-minded, fixed in what we want, and that comes through sadhana practice. By doing things that are good for us, whether we feel like it or not, the mind becomes strong, habituated to listening to the spiritual precepts, the spiritual authority. It becomes subordinate to the spiritual authority. It becomes habituated to be subordinate to spiritual authority, beginning with spiritual master. And if it remains whimsical, oh, I feel like doing this, oh, well, maybe, oh, okay, this looks like it's fine, yeah, okay. Then, as soon as a desire is impelled by the senses into the mind, the mind says, oh, I don't feel like this today. Oh, maybe I do after all. Okay, why, yeah, after all. Mind has to become fixed in the proper acceptance and rejections if one wants to go back home, back to Godhead, if one wants to regain his proper position. And what is that proper position? By giving up the material desires, he becomes eligible to possess wealth and opulence like yours, Prahlad. Not material wealth. I can have my own universe, or I can become this or that, or have billions of dollars. No. Real wealth and real opulence is on the spiritual platform, love for Krishna. Enjoying with Krishna, serving Krishna, enjoying on the level of Krishna in that service. Being home, Goloka Vrindavan. Accepting our natural, actual relationship with Krishna, living in that. That is spiritual opulence. But one can't have this without giving up material desires. Becoming fixed in that. But we don't have to give up ambition and desiring, just materialistic ambition, selfish, petty, worthless. Purport. By Prabhupada. Atheistic men sometimes criticize a devotee by saying, if you do not want to take any benediction from the Lord, and if the servant of the Lord is as opulent as the Lord himself, why do you ask for the benedictions of being engaged as the Lord's servant? You don't want anything, why are you asking to be a servant? Srila Swami comments, Bhagavat Vaya Bhagavat Saman Aishvayaya Bhagavata Bhagavatva. Becoming as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not mean becoming one with Him or equal to Him. Although in the spiritual world, the servant is equally as opulent as the Master. The servant of the Lord is engaged in the service of the Lord as servant, friend, father, mother, or conjugal lover, all of whom are equally as opulent as the Lord. This is a Chintya Veda Veda Tattva. The master and servant are different, yet equal in opulence. This is the meaning of simultaneous difference from the Supreme Lord and oneness with Him. So the oneness, Bhagavatvaya, Bhagavatvaya, equally as opulent as the Lord. Not that we become one with the Lord in the sense of that we become the Lord. Impossible, actually. But one with Him in the sense of on the same spiritual platform after having cast off the material platform. And the final verse in Prahlad's prayers. O my Lord, full of six opulences, O Supreme Person, O Supreme Soul, killer of all miseries, O Supreme Person in the form of a wonderful lion and man, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So after defining his position as an unmotivated servant of the Lord, he offers his respectful obeisances, not requiring anything else.
Sri Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Lord Nrisimhadeva ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? He'll what? Explain devotional service?
He will describe that to perform devotional service. So the devotional service means that there is no more material desire.
Actually speaking, devotional service means pure devotional service, because devotion. So when one is a Vaishnava devotee, it means that he's a pure Vaishnava, a pure devotee. Just like water. When we say water, water means pure water. Everything else that's contaminating it isn't water. But water is pure. That's what water means. It's water. So devotional service is pure. But conventionally, the way we speak about it, and also Rupa Goswami defines that there are different stages of devotional service. So there is sadhana bhakti, which means devotional service and practice. So one's practicing to be a devotee. He's not actually on the transcendental pure platform, but he's practicing. Just like if someone is an apprentice, so to speak, he's a doctor, and he's an intern, but he's not fully licensed. He doesn't have the requisite skills and abilities and knowledge and experience. So he's a doctor in practice in that sense. So devotees they're aspiring to be devotees when on the sadhana platform. Still in the realm, in differing degrees of the realm of the material energy, but they're aspiring to take shelter, to go beyond the material energy and take shelter of the spiritual energy, the internal energy of the Lord. So when one actually accomplishes that, mam chayo vivacharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitani, he's above the modes of material nature, brahma bhuyaya kalpate, on the Brahman platform, that's where devotional service, on the spiritual platform, that's where devotional service actually takes place. So when one is free from the material energy and is serving via the spiritual energy, no longer under the control of the material energy, but under the has made direct contact with the spiritual energy, that is called bhava bhakti. And when bhava bhakti expands a millionfold, it is called prema bhakti. But in the conventional sense, we say, he's a devotee, he's a devotee, she's a devotee, we're all devotees. So that's true also in the sense that someone aspiring to be a devotee will be a devotee, it's just a matter of time. So he's in the realm, he's in the influence of being a devotee by Krishna's grace. So there's two ways to look at it, the conventional way and the technical way. So in the conventional way, how many devotees do you have in your temple, Prabhu? And then in the technical way, what it actually means to be a devotee is a pure devotee. And Srila Jiva Goswami explains in the Sandarbhas, that it's not that we should only serve the Mahabhagavatas, but we should serve all devotees. So it's not that, oh, he's a Mahabhagavata, he's a great devotee, and everyone else, they're just minimized. No, that's actually a horrible attitude. It's a very, very neophyte attitude. We can offend everyone else. And then those who are exalted devotees, who I perceive as exalted, I fall down at their feet, and everyone else No, not like that, but we should be respectful to all living entities, or to speak of devotees. Mahaprabhu was once asked when they said, what is the characteristic, the resonance of Prabhu Kulinagan, said, what is the characteristic of a devotee? And he said, he is one who he associates with devotees. And how can you recognize a devotee? One who chants Hare Krishna one time, he is a Vaishnava. Does that answer to the point of what you were saying, or something different? Close enough.
Just thinking, sometimes I guess it's easy to see gross material desires and try and give them up to Mr. Krishna. I guess some anyone that had an experience in devotional service, you know that some desires that were there initially came along are replaced by, you know, something that's more sincere to serve Krishna. But then there's other ulterior motives which are more subtle and harder to identify. And I'm the sort of person that I like to see clearly what's ahead of me before I make, you know, people's, you know, other people, they make a jump and, you know, what do I do then? So I'm just trying to think of how do we identify such ulterior motives which are really severe enough as in paths of devotion.
Identify them, you recognize them, name them.
Cut them down, like I mean, the desire for recognition and these kinds of things.
Yata upasakata nis kutanati jivahim san. There's one more there. Labha puja pratishtari yata upasakakan. These are weeds. These are described in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching to Rupa Goswami. It takes time, it seems. There's the positive that we have to do, and the negative. The negative is pull them out when you recognize them. In other words, don't follow the desires. And when they arise in the mind, to recognize them and not cultivate them, to become very angry at them, to beat them with a shoe. The mind for being attached to these kind of things, as Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakura said. And on the other hand, water the creeper, the real creeper of devotional service, by Ihan Mali Nitya Sechi Shavanadi Dal, by hearing and chanting about Krishna. So on both sides. And study the philosophy if you're that kind of a person that likes to know everything in advance. Study the books very, very carefully and protect oneself through good association. If one associates intimately with people who have materialistic desires, we will catch those just as surely as we will catch a cold if they're always sneezing upon us. Associate with devotees, keep the association of materialistic people in the proper perspective, chant attentively, hear Bhagavatam, and see the materialistic tendencies that we have and become very humble, because then I find that they're very hard to get rid of. And yeah, very hard to get rid of. They're like the plague. And they just keep coming back, it seems. So this makes one very humble, which is the key. When one recognizes one's misfortune and the depth of one's rottenness, then one can become humble. And when you try to clean your heart, at least from my experience, rather than feeling that you've cleaned your heart, you become more humble. That's actually the benefit. Maybe you do clean your heart, or by Krishna's grace, by chanting, but the real immediate result is one's false prestige is diminished because you're fighting something greater than you. You can't do it on your own. You think from now on, anytime my mind tells me to do something that's not good for my Krishna consciousness, I'll immediately uproot that desire, beat my mind with a stick, and then you find that you're completely seduced by the material desires in the mind all the time, and you realize how insincere you are and how much you need help. Krishna's so kind, but unfortunate as I am, I have no attraction for his name, etc. So in this way, our spiritual life gradually progresses if we stick to it carefully. Or uncarefully, but we should stick to it. And every time we have trouble, and every time we feel that it's not worth it to try again, just get up and try again. That's one of the keys. Just somehow keep going. Keep chanting Hare Krishna. Keep associating with devotees despite everything else. Okay. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.